Dragnet.
The Jack Benny Program.
I'm that man. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal.
George Burns and Gracie Allen.
Good evening, friends of the Inner Sanctum.
We offer you Escape.
Our Miss Brooks.
Suspense.
Richard Diamond, Private Detective.
Fibber McGee and Molly.
The Great Gildersleeve.
Yeah. Radio Theater.
In the air.
Dedicated to man's imagination, the theater of the mind.
You know what our call letters WGN stand for, don't you?
WGN Radio Theater.
The special three-hour presentation
with Carl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
All right, about 7 minutes after 11 p.m. here on the WGN Radio Theater. I'm your host, Carl Amari. Program 200, Lisa Wolf.
We did it.
Oh, my gosh. We certainly did.
And many
Program
more to
200.
Come.
And look who we have in the studio with us, our executive producer, Mike Costello. What's up, Mike?
Hello there. I'm doing well.
He's here, even though he's A-list. He's here. And we have Shante Garth, our producer, in the booth. And we have classic radio shows for everybody. We're going to start things off with my mom's favorite radio show, Life with a Luigi, from 1952, starring J. Carroll Nash. Then it's The Green Hornet, from 1946, starring Robert Hall. And then a radio dramatization of the amazing baseball film Pride of the Yankees, starring Gary Cooper, reprising his film role on the Screen Director's Playhouse from 1949, all brought to you by Cat's Pride.
Dum, 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 dum. It's time for Celebrity Scoop, brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow!
This actor stars as Drosselmeyer in the upcoming film The Nutcracker and the Four Realms, a live-action adaptation of The Nutcracker and the Mouse King.
Do you know who it is, Mike?
No.
Not okay. yet, but he will when nice. Hear the music clip.
What do you
They're
what
going
do you win?
To win two tickets to see Hair, which is playing Mercury Theater Chicago through September 17th.
All right.
All right.
And,
it's a great show, great theater.
Two tickets to Hair.
Yep.
Our phone number is 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. That's the number to call. And here's a hint. This actor played God in Bruce Almighty.
Now, I'm not much for blaspheming, but that last one made me laugh.
Pretty famous voice there, Lisa.
Yeah,
pretty
good.
Famous voice. All right, yeah. Do you know who that is? Give us a call, 312-981-7200. Win some tickets. We'll be right back.
Welcome back. This is our 200th show of the WGN Radio Theater playing Celebrity Scoop. Let's play it again.
Now, I'm not much for blaspheming, but that last one made me laugh.
Terry, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good. I bet you know who that actor is.
I sure do. Morgan Freeman.
Morgan Freeman. What a voice, right?
Yes, exactly.
Well, yeah, congratulations. You've won two tickets to see Hair. It's a rock musical playing at the Mercury Theater Chicago, running from July 27th through September 17th. It's a great show. It's a great theater. It's going to be great music. It's all
is it great?
Yeah, I'll be there for opening, which is...
You know
is,
what? You know who's great? Terry's great.
Terry's
because
great because she knew it.
She's a winner.
That's right. For more information and tickets, you can go to mercurytheaterchicago.com. Thank you so much for kicking off our 200th show tonight.
Oh, thank you so much for the tickets and for having such a great show. I enjoy it every week.
Absolutely.
Thanks.
I hope you love the show.
Thanks,
I'm
Terry.
Hair.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. All right. Well, you know what? Yesterday on our program, on our 199th program, we did something a little fun. We gave people a chance to guess our favorite song from 1968.
And we sent out prizes to those who guessed correctly.
And yours was... yours was...
By Steppenwolf.
Steppenwolf. What was it again? It was a good song.
I know.
Born to Be Wild.
There you
All
go.
All right, see. I'm old, Lisa. Born to Be Wild. And
yours was?
Mine was by...
Heard it through the grapevine.
Yeah, heard it through
the grapevine. Okay.
Marvin Gaye.
You almost right. remembered yours.
So we, before the show, Lisa and I came up with our favorite songs from 1969,
the next
1969,
year.
Right. I'm hearing music in the background.
That's okay. It's just in your head.
Okay.
You're making
There's
it
a
up.
Lot of things in my head.
I know.
And there's voices
music
in there.
Music is the
there's
best
voices.
Part of it.
You don't want to know about the voices.
No, let's
what
go
they
with
say
music.
Sometimes.
So we went with 1969 for tonight. And Carl and I have our favorite song
and
from
Mike,
1969.
Mike likes both these songs, right? We told Mike what
it.
They are. So
yeah.
Mike likes both
I think
of these
he
songs.
Likes mine better.
Yeah. Well, anyway, so I have a favorite song from 1969, and Lisa has a favorite song from 1969. If you want to take a shot at trying to guess these songs, and when you do text in at 312-981-7200, make sure you write who you think the song is, like Carl's song or Lisa's song. And if you get it right, I am going to send you a Twilight Zone CD, four CD set, which is like a $30 value. Not bad.
Right, and the only place you can do it is through the text-in line, not through our Facebook. It has to be on the text-in line.
So the text-in line is 312-981-7200. And in our second and third hour, we'll play the songs and we'll reveal what my favorite song from 1969 is.
So guess it right and win a Twilight Zone CD.
Yeah, that'll be fun. So 312-981-7200. Time now, though, for Life with a Luigi. This is my mom's favorite radio show, Lisa.
I know.
She liked this show and Dr. Kildare. Those were her two favorite shows.
I know.
And she's listening.
Well,
so,
of course she's listening. She's your mom.
I'm playing this. I was talking to her on my way here, and I said, Ma, you got to be listening because I'm going to start things off with your favorite radio show. Life with Luigi was a comedy starring J. Carroll Nash. He was a newly naturalized American citizen, and he was living in Chicago. This was set in Chicago. And he wrote letters to his Mamma Mia in Italy telling of his adventures here in Chicago. And he owned an antique shop. And his sponsor who brought him over from Italy, played by Alan Reed, was Pasquale. Alan Reed, of course, was the voice of Fred Flintstone. He owned a spaghetti palace. And he had a very overweight daughter named Rosa. And he wanted Luigi to marry Rosa. And every show ended up with him trying to get Luigi to marry Rosa. It was created by Cy Howard, who also created My Friend Irma. Came to radio in 1948, ran until 1953. Was sponsored by Wrigley Spearmint Chewing Gum and made a transition to television in 1952. Very funny series. We have an episode for you now. From March 4th, 1952, this is called Luigi May Lose His House. This stars J. Carroll Nash along with Alan Reed. Here's part one of Life with Luigi.
The makers of Wrigley Spearmint Chewing Gum invite you to enjoy Life, Life with Luigi, a comedy show created by Cy Howard, directed by Mack Benoff, and starring a celebrated actor, Mr. J. Carroll Nash, with Alan Reed as Pasquale. The makers of Wrigley Spearmint Chewing Gum are glad to bring you Life with Luigi because they feel it's a friendly, good-natured show that offers you relaxation and enjoyment. And you know, Wrigley Spearmint Chewing Gum offers you relaxation and enjoyment, too. It's pleasant to chew on a smooth piece of Wrigley Spearmint whether you're working, shopping, listening to your radio, or doing just about anything. Wrigley Spearmint Gum tastes good, it's refreshing, and the good, easy chewing gives you comfort and satisfaction. Now, Wrigley Spearmint Chewing Gum brings you Luigi as he writes another letter describing his adventures in America to his Mama Basco in Italy.
Dear Mamma Mia, remember in the old country how we all thought there was gold in the streets in America? Well, is not true. Mamma mia, I'm here 3 years now, and the only goal I'm see is when a Pasquale is put his teeth in a glass. You see, right now in America, they got what's called inflation, which is got to do with a dollar. To explain to you short, Mamma mia, inflation means money is a good, but a lamb chops is a better. In America today, if you walk in a market with $1, even a potatoes is a laugh at you. And the milk, Mamma mia, about the milk. If I was to bring Uncle Pietro's goat to America, she would get so rich she could give milk only on Mondays and sleep for late the rest of the week. But meanwhile, I'm happy with my antique business, and I make just enough money to keep the wolf away from the door. Oh, I'm talking too quick. Here comes the wolf now.
Luigi, my friend. Hello, Luigi. Hello, hello.
Hello, Pasquale.
Luigi, you're looking fine, beautiful. Fact, I never saw you looking so good.
Pasquale, something is wrong.
Why? Because I say you look so good?
When you grease me up like that, I know you're getting ready to put me in a pan.
No, Luigi, I will admit it. Today you look like a nice, fresh garden. Your cheeks are like two rosy apples. Your mouth is like a red cherry. Your eyes are like two black grapes. Luigi, your face looks such a nice, fresh garden. I feel like dumping a bag of vigor over your head.
Oh, Pasquale, stop. You're making me blush. Hey, why are you suddenly so nice to me today, huh?
Because I love you, little banana nose.
And I'm loving you too, Pasquale.
Hey, Luigi, could you take the love you got for me and transfer it to my nearest living relative?
You mean a Russian?
I don't mean ex-Xavier Cugats.
Pasquale, I'm in America over 3 years and now. All I'm a keeper here, and every day is a Russia, 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 and more Russia. I'm starting not to like it.
You're right, Luigi. I'm going to change your name into Sam. Now, look, we all want something out of life, everybody. We all got our price. You tell me, what do you want out of life, and I'm going to listen.
All right, Pasquale. Well, I want the peace and enough for money to eat, to pay my rent, to buy a few little things. In other words, Pasquale, I want everything you get free in this democratic country.
That's fine. Rosa wants the same things. So why don't you two Democrats get married and have a little third party? What do you say, little cabbage pussy?
Maybe someday, Pasquale, but it isn't no rush.
Sure, it isn't no rush, Luigi.
And is there no hard feelings, huh, Pasquale?
No hard feelings, Luigi.
That's good.
Now get ready to move out of the store tomorrow and leave the town for good.
Leave it.
I hate two-faced ungrates, Luigi. Oh. I'm going to once and for all eject up of your hide.
But Pasquale, what are you talking about?
I'm talking about the biggest catastrophe has ever hit you, Luigi. Pasquale, your landlord, is getting ready to sell this whole building next week to a furniture dealer by the name of Mr. Murphy.
Pasquale, you're going to sell it the antique shop?
That's right. The Murphy offered me $20,000 for this building, and I just decided to take it.
Yeah, but Pasquale, if this Murphy buys the building, he's going to throw me out. I'm going to have no business, and I'm going to starve to death.
Luigi, you see this ear I'm pointing to?
Yes, sir.
That's my deaf ear. Now, if you want to get a quick action of talking to the right ear, that's the one I keep for listening to future son-in-laws.
Hello, Pasquale,
sorry, my boy, I didn't hear a word you said.
Well, all right. I'm going now to my night school, Pasquale. I'm better say goodbye to all of my friends there. So long, Pasquale.
So long. And a good riddance. I'm going to teach that pupsqueak once and for all. You can lead a horse at the water, but if you don't marry her, you're true with a Pasquale.
Well, it's wonderful. I'm back at school. No more sickness. Everything is fine.
Quiet class. I'll call the roll. Mr. Basco?
Here.
Mr. Howard?
Here.
Mr. Olson?
Here.
Mr. Schultz?
Last stop. Everybody off. That's right. Laugh. Everybody smile. Be happy.
Please, Mr. Schultz. Now, class, today I asked you to learn some new spelling words. So let's see how smart you are. Who will volunteer to spell the word insubordination? Well, who will volunteer? Mr. Schultz, if you're volunteering, just raise one hand, not two.
Who's volunteering? I'm giving up.
Oh, come now, class. Won't somebody try? Insubordination. Remember what I once told you. If a word seems too difficult, try breaking it up.
That word you can't break up. You've got to smash it to pieces.
Mr. Schultz, since you insist on talking out of turn, we'll let you spell the word.
All right. W-O-R-T, what?
I meant insubordination.
Right. I try. Insubordination. The I-N-S-U-B-O-R-D-I-N-A-T-I-O-N.
Well, that's very good, Mr. Schultz.
To tell the truth, it was a lucky guess.
Don't be so modest. Now, Mr. Basco. Wake up, Mr. Basco. Spell the word receive, please.
Receive?
Well, come now. What is this spelling rule involved in that word? Mr. Olson, you tell him.
I would be happy to. In such words, the general rule is,
I before E, except after C. Now, I could give a few dozen exceptions to the rule, Miss Spaulding, or do you think that may confuse them?
Olson, I get for Schimmel just for listening to you.
Quiet, please. Mr. Basco, now that you've heard the rule, spell the word receive.
All right. Schimmel,
he sounds just like a poopy dog.
Mr. Schultz, Mr. Basco, you're not even trying. The correct spelling is R-E-C-E-I-V-E. You know the word now?
Yeah, the word is Murphy.
Miss Baldwin, something is wrong with Luigi.
Why, what's the matter, Mr. Basco? A headache?
No, it's a Pasquale. He's going to sell a whole building with the antique shop to some furniture man, Mr. Murphy.
By Jiminy, that Pasquale is just an unmitigated 14-carat yerk.
Basco, why is he doing this? Do you know?
Russia.
I thought so. That Pasquale's got a real single-track mind.
Yeah, and he's going to keep on having that single-track mind till he marries off his caboose.
Mr. Basco, you do have a serious problem. I wish there was some way I could help you.
Ah, smile, Luigi. You got nothing to worry about. You just go into another business, that's all.
Yeah, but like what, Schultz?
Well, you could be a butcher. You got a nice fat tongue. Cheer up, Luigi.
Well, there's a dismissal bell. Mr. Basco, would you mind staying after class? Perhaps I can help you with your problem.
All right, and thank you, Miss Spaulding.
Good night, Luigi. And if there's anything I can do, please call on me.
Me too, Luigi. Count on me for anything.
Thanks, Orson Horowitz.
That's good. And any verse comes to verse, Luigi, you could always work with me in my delicatessen. Sure, you could stand and watch my cash register. I don't trust myself lately. Come on, Luigi, smile. Be like me. Always happy. Always laughing.
Ooh, my rheumatism is killing me.
Mr. Basco, you should be heartened at the way your classmates were so eager to help you out.
Well, I'm appreciate it very much, Miss Spaulding, but for me, it's too big a problem. When I'm a loser and take a shop, what am I going to do for a living?
Mr. Basco, you're in America now. You can be anything you want to be and do anything you want to do.
Yeah, but where am I going to go to find another business?
Well, I've been thinking, Mr. Basco. I know a man who might be able to find you some other business. His name is Duffy Lane, and he's a business broker.
Well, what am I need him for? My business is already broke.
No, you don't understand. A business broker is a man who can offer you a large variety of businesses. And you can make your selection.
Oh, well, that sounds good, Miss Spaulding. Hey, you give him a big hope.
You must learn to have more confidence in yourself, Mr. Basco. Whenever you feel discouraged, I want you to repeat to yourself these lines from a famous poem. I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul.
I am the master of my fate. I'm the captain of my soul. Mamma mia, I'm feeling better already.
There, you see?
Miss Spaulding, I'm going to see this business broker, Mr. Lane. I'm going to find a new business. And if that's no good, I'm going to try, and try again. Hello, Pasquale.
Yes?
Hey, Pasquale, I am the master of my fate. I'm the captain of my soul.
Well, what do you know? Mr. Shrimp Boats, a 1952. A propeller who's about to lose his business and be kicked out in the street. You sound pretty happy.
Well, why not, Pasquale? I'm got a big confidence in myself, Pasquale. I'm the captain of
all right, all right, captain. Stop. You're getting me seasick. Come on, Luigi. Get a sensible. Marry Rosa before it's too late.
Pasquale, I'm the master of my fate, not the fact. Jesse, you want to know more here? Look at this academy.
Well, let me see.
Right there.
Duffy Lane, business broker, Austin 46557.
That's right. I'm just had a talk with him, and he's going to find me new business.
You had a talk with him, he's going to find you new business,
That's
eh?
That's right.
Like what? The selling of popsicles at the Eskimos? Maybe you're going to go in a vegetable business, renting out your cabbage head to the housewives, eh?
All right, go ahead, Pasquale. Make fun. But now I'm no more afraid of you. I'm the master of my faith. I'm the captain of my soul.
Well, watch out or you don't get a shipwreck. I wonder if he's going on a shipbuilding business. Anyway, I better put a stop to this before my little pigeon flies out of the coop. Let me see that broker's card. Abro figuro, bro. This abro figuro, bro. This before 30, before 30, before. Hello? Hello. That's the Duffy Lane, a business broker? Good. I'm a very good friend of a new customer of yours, Luigi Basco. I'm surprised that you promised him you're going to find him a new business. Well, you see, he's had 10 different businesses in the last 3 years, always a fall apart. Why? I'm glad you asked me that. It's because of his hobby. Eh? What's his hobby? Raising the termites.
All right, that's the first portion of Life with Luigi from March 4th, 1952. Luigi may lose his house, starring J. Carroll Nash. We had someone text in and ask, it sounds like there's people applauding and laughing in the background. A lot of the comedy shows, in fact, most of the comedy shows were performed on a stage in front of a live audience. They needed that laughter. Later on television when they did it, they would put laugh tracks, and that never sounded as good as the live studio audience. I mean, a lot of the TV shows, I mean, Cheers and things were done in front of a live studio audience. But back in the radio days, there were some dramatic shows that were done in front of a live studio audience. The Shadow was. Many of the bigger shows, Lux Radio Theater. But almost all of the comedies, like this show, Life with Luigi, were performed live in front of a studio audience, so you would get that audience reaction. And in fact, on every episode of the Life with Luigi show, towards the end, Pasquale always calls out Rosa. He'd be like, Rosa, 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 you know, and she comes out. And she was a very large woman, this actress that played the character. And when she would run out, you know, she would make a kind of a spectacle. And you'll hear the audience be like, oh, my gosh, you know, here comes this, you know, because Rosa, the character of Rosa was a very right. large woman that is her father, Pasquale, was always trying to marry her off to Luigi. And you'll hear that in this episode. They do it in every episode of Life with Luigi. Let's take a quick break. Then it's more on the WGN Radio Theater. All right. Well, the 11:32 news is sponsored by RZA Acura. Hey, Roger, have you seen the new Acura NSX? I think it's called the NSX.
MDX?
No, it's the sporty two-seater. Oh. I saw one on the road the other day.
I haven't seen an NSX
I believe it's,
in a long time.
Yeah, I'm not sure if they... I'm pretty sure it's still called the Acura NSX. It's the sporty two-seater. Mm-hmm. Bravo Acura. It's
really?
A very attractive vehicle. And I'm sure they have them over at RZA Acura.
I'm sure they do.
So check that out. But
and since you've got all the money, I'll let you buy me one.
I'm going to buy you two of them.
I'm in
well,
line.
Can
only
drive one at a time.
One in black and one in red. Well, Lisa has a fleet of cars.
You know, I like them to match my outfit. You know, it's very
so
important.
How many outfits do you... Seven, at least seven, so you got to have seven of them.
Yeah,
well,
all right.
They don't have to be the exact same
now, that's
color.
A little,
just have to match.
I think that, you know, that's a little egregious now. I mean, that
really?
Many...
A little
yeah.
too much?
A little too
is
much.
Is it?
Right. Yeah.
Well, maybe. Then one of each color that
because,
they have.
You know, Sunday...
I like to have alternate cars for different, you know, just different moods.
Sunday is a day
color.
Of rest, Lisa. Car. You shouldn't be driving around in a car.
Yeah, there you go. Have someone else
yeah, one. Right, exactly. That's what husbands are for.
And chauffeurs.
Yeah, that's true.
But you have a fleet of those on
well,
your
what do you
payroll
think the husband
as well,
is?
Too.
Exactly.
All right.
I understand her.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
All right, before we get back to Life with a Luigi, I want to remind all of our listeners that we're having a little fun contest. If you can guess Lisa's favorite song from 1969, if you have an idea what it might be, text us at 312-981-7200. And when you write the name of the song, make sure you write Lisa. And if you have any idea what my favorite song from 1969 might be, do the same thing. Text in the song and put my name. We already have a someone who's got it right, but we're gonna send Twilight Zone CDs to everybody that gets it right.
Right, but I want you to know that I'm not going to text back and let you know quite yet if you're right or if you're wrong until we actually play a clip from the song.
We're going to hold you in suspended animation.
I've got your number and or your name here, and if you're right, you'll know in a short time.
Yeah.
We'll let you know.
You have to do it like your shows.
What's that?
What's that mean?
Suspended animation. You're going to give them a story that will keep them
in
suspense. How about that?
Yeah, well,
I'm up here if you need me.
Yeah, okay, thanks.
We could just knock. Knock three times on the ceiling if you want me. But that's not one of the
That's
songs.
Not it.
It's probably not from 1960.
Well, the singers you hired are out for the night?
Yeah.
So, we can't afford them.
Second string,
we're on our own.
Second string singers.
B-roll here.
There is one person so far that has one of our songs right. I'm not going to say which one.
Right. But you know what? Don't always go for the obvious. There's a lot of people texting the same songs over and over. You know, think a little deeper sometimes.
Yeah, like yesterday, Roger, they thought my favorite song was Hey Jude. Mm-hmm. And they thought Lisa's favorite song was
Simon and Garfunkel.
Mrs. Robinson.
It's a Song of Silence, wasn't
it? Yeah, and it wasn't.
Song of Silence. That one? No, it was Mrs. Robinson.
Sounds of Silence.
Sounds of Silence. Mrs. Robinson.
Was it Mrs. Robinson?
Yeah, Mrs. Robinson.
And they
it wasn't.
That wasn't. So sometimes it's the unexpected. Yeah. And that's the best clue I can
get.
Which is also the name of a
out.
Classic radio show, The Unexpected. That was a radio show as well. All right, well, we're listening to one of the funniest radio shows of all time, Life with Luigi, J. Carol Nash, my mom's favorite show. She used to listen to this show with her brothers. And she also liked Dr. Kildare. And so this is for my mom and also for the whole listening audience. So let's get back to this now. March 4th, 1952. And by the way, yes, the voice of Pasquale is the same guy who played the voice of Fred Flintstone. Yes, Alan Reed. Let's tune this in. The conclusion of Life with Luigi.
Now let's turn to page 2 of Luigi Basco's letter to his mother in Italy.
Well, mamma mia, I'm a candidate for good news because something bad is happening. I don't know why, but when I'm went to see my business broker, he's a push me out, to lock the door, and a spray me with the DDT. And he chased me away. He says he doesn't want to see me, but worst part of all, Mr. Murphy, the furniture manager, coming to buy this building tonight, and I'm going to be thrown out of here, too. Everything is a look black till Schultz is walking.
Luigi, my fellow pupil. Ah, look at that long puss.
Schultz, Pasquale, he's chasing me out tonight.
So what? Smile, Luigi. Remember what they say in the clothing business. Behind every gray suit, there's a silver lining.
Yeah, but Schultz... Well, you know how bad I'm feel about the losing the antique business? Well, is it just impossible to smile?
Ah, papi cockle. Luigi, sometimes we got to smile to keep from crying.
Yeah, but it's just what I'm going to do. I'm all mixed up.
Well, Luigi, the way I see it, you got two choices. One, you could borrow money for a while.
No. I'm never going to borrow money. And nothing is ever going to make me borrow money. What's the number two choice?
Mary Rosa.
Oh, Schultz, you know where I'm going to buy $100?
Hey, Luigi, there is a third choice. You could find yourself a job.
Job?
Sure. You know, that thing people do in their spare time between 9 and 5 just to keep alive. Wait, Luigi, into my head an idea just pooped.
Well, what?
One of my best customers, Mrs. Charlie Carr, is the wife of the personnel manager of the Etna Steel plant. I'm going to talk to Mrs. Carr right away, and in 1 hour, you've got to get a job.
Yeah, but sure, so how you know Mrs. Carr is going to try?
Listen, a woman's got to be nice to two men in her life, her husband and her butcher. If Mrs. Carr dares to refuse me, the next time she orders Wiener Schnitzels, she gets less Wiener and more Schnitzel.
Mamma mia, what a big factory. Etna Steel Plant. Oh, Americans are they very smart. Who else could have figured out how to get a bigger things like a steel from a little things like a plant? Well, it's no surprise. Any country that can figure out how to push the salmon in the can without opening it up can do anything. Mamma mia, I'm getting nervous. I wish you could be with me, Mamma mia, like when you took me to school for the first time. Remember, Mamma? Well, be brave, Luigi. You're the master of your fate, the captain of your soul.
Well, Mr. Basco, I'm sure we can find a place for you in our plan.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Personnel Manager. Here's a little present I'm brought to you from Mr. Schultz. Oh,
thank you. Must be about 20 Frankfurters in this bag.
No, it's 18 because I'm ahead of lunch.
I'll just put them in my desk, one of the coal drawers. Now then, let me fill out a card for you. Your name?
Hello, Luigi Basco.
Address?
21 and Otto Hollister Street.
Zone?
Safety. Yeah, sure. Right outside of my store is a safety zone.
Oh. Well, we can fill the rest in later. Now, yeah. Mr. Basco, Etna Steel would like to fit you into the job you're best suited for. Now, what have you had the most experience in?
Most experience I've had in antiques.
Mr. Basco, when you're not around antiques, what do you do?
I like to sit and read.
Good. And what do you read about?
Antiques.
Mr. Basco, the type of work we offer is arc welding, spot welding, high-pressure metal plating, operating a drill press, and handling a Bessemer-type foundry. Ever do any work with your hands?
Oh, sure.
What?
In Italy, I'm a milk at the cow.
Is that all you did?
Oh, no. I'm also milk at the goat. Oh, Mr. Personnel, is nice in Italy. I milk at the cow, I milk at the goat. I'm a feed the pigs and take care of the little chickens. You know, I've got one favorite chicken. Her name is Josephine. And you're not going to believe this, but she's used to lay 10 eggs in one day.
10 eggs?
Yeah, I used to sing her little song. La, 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 la. And every time she's a hear me sing, she's a drop everything. Oh, well, for sure, in a bigger place like this, must have at least one cow.
We have a Coke machine. We have a Coke machine.
Mommy, how are you squeezing the cow in that?
Well, Mr. Basco, fortunately, we have a lot of war contract work and we do need help. I'll give you a note to one of our foremen. He'll put you somewhere.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Cannon. Thank you so much. I'm going to plant so much steel, you're going to be very proud of me.
Basco, gotta be careful around those swinging cranes.
Mamma mia, there's plenty hot in here, huh, Mr. Foreman?
Well, what'd you expect? That Bessemer furnace over there throws 3 tons of white-hot coal into that burning cauldron, out of which pours thousands of tons of molten steel, and this is pressured to 5,000 degrees Fahrenheit. Think you can handle it, Basco?
Please, where do you keep the cow?
What? Look, do you think you can handle that Bessemer furnace?
Well, I don't know. You think I can?
It's easy. Just don't get too close or it's curtains for you.
Lisa, maybe you put me in a curtain apartment now.
Come here, Basco. I want to show you the next step. That red-hot steel you see over there is cooled down from 5,000 degrees to 40 below zero by the super-cooling action of 500 icy drafts blowing jets of freezing air up and down.
Mamma mia, that reminds me.
What?
I'm forgot to defrost my icebox.
And now over here is the end product of the whole operation. We call it pig iron.
Pig iron? I'm going to know that cows give milk, but it's the first time I found out that the pigs give iron.
Basco, you might have to handle some of these machines pretty soon, so listen to what I tell you.
Yes, sir.
Now, this here is a 4-ton jig press.
Uh-huh.
These here are turret lathes.
Uh-huh.
Those are nut and bolt forges, and that over there is a combination Clyde binder and Latina pusher.
Uh-huh.
Think you can learn to handle them?
You sure there's no cow in the factory?
No. Now, come on with me. I'll turn you over to the superintendent.
Superintendent, Mamma mia, I'm going down. He's turning me over to the janitor.
Thank you.
get on the ball. Hey, Basco, move. We got to get started.
Yeah, sure, sure. What am I do first?
Punch that time clock.
Huh?
You hear me? Punch the time clock.
But it's an hit to me.
I'll punch it for you.
Right.
Now stand over here. You're going to operate this drill press. Ever handle a press before?
No, I'm never working in a tailor shop.
Oh, what kind of men are they sending down these days? Look, this drill press punches 300 holes every hour, you see? You just slip this metal sheet in the press like this. Go ahead, do it.
All right, push me in a shirt. Sure, all right.
Okay, now tighten the bolt.
Yeah.
Come on, stupid. Now step on this button and hold tight. All right, Basco. Get up off that floor.
All right.
Now step on it. Get to work. All right, men, don't stand around and watch. Let's go.
Somebody has escaped.
The lunch whistle, Basco. Okay, boys, take 30. Hey, Basco, what are you doing so close to that blast furnace?
What?
What are you doing so close to that blast furnace?
Oh, I'm just the one to toast a little bit of bread.
Get away from there. Okay, boys, get back on the job. Let's go.
Please, I'm not able to make a little sandwich. Mamma mia, I'm not going to do this. I'm all mixed up.
Look out, Basco. Watch out for that swinging crane. Run for it.
Yeah, you're right. I'm not going to run for it, and I'm not going to stop until I'm going to be off. Hello, Pasquale.
Is that you, Luigi? Face all scratched up, overalls all torn and black, a hair standing on edge. What'd you do, stick your head in an electric fan?
Pasquale, it's a long story. I'm had a job of making iron to pigs. First, I'm almost cooked by hot the furnace. Then I'm pushed into the freezer, almost the freezer to death. The noises are hitting me on the head all the time, like a thousand hammers. I'm almost falling in the drill press and I get killed 4 times. Now I know why it's called the graveyard shift.
So the little popsquick is a try to be a working man, eh? Tell me, my big wager, how much money you make it today, eh?
I don't know. First, they take out a social security, state tax, income tax, unemployment insurance, accident insurance, union of those. I think I owe them 10 cents.
Boob, I'm looking at with a big, stupid, green hard boob.
Masquale, be careful of what you call me. I'm protected by John L. Lewis.
You're talking very brave for a little man was just about to be kicked out on the street.
Masquale?
Yes, Luigi?
I'm going to marry Russia. I'm going to give up.
Luigi. You said it. You said the words I want to hear. Now you can be a good captain. You marry my ship. Oh, wait, Luigi. I'm going to call you to the blush of the bride. Rosa! Rosa! Rosa!
You called me, Papa!
Yes, my little ride, Chris. Rosa, say hello to Luigi.
Hello, Rush.
Well, Luigi, now you decide to be my son-in-law, you got nothing to worry about. I'm going to make a lot of money selling this house, and you're going to live off for the profits.
I'm looking for... Oh, there you are, Mr. Pasquale.
Ah, hello, Mr. Murphy. You coming to close the deal for the furniture store, eh?
No, the deal is off, Mr. Pasquale.
Off? Why? What's happened?
I saw my business broker, Mr. Lane, today, and he told me someone gave him a tip over the telephone that this building is unsafe.
unsafe.
That's right. It's got termites. I'm sorry, Mr. Murphy.
Hey, wait, Mr. Murphy. I'm the one who called up. I'm a big liar.
Mr.
Murphy. Hey, Mr. Murphy. Yes, sir. What?
Hey, so you told my broker I'm going to get a termite, sir.
Luigi, you heard what I told him, Murphy. I'm a big liar. Don't believe me. Luigi, where you going? You promised to marry Rosa.
Don't believe me, Pasquale. I'm a big liar, too.
Friends, the makers of Wrigley's Spearmint Chewing Gum hope you enjoyed tonight's episode of Life with Luigi, and they want to remind you that Wrigley's Spearmint Gum is a refreshing, delicious treat you can enjoy just about any time and any place. That's Wrigley's Spearmint Chewing Gum. The makers of Wrigley's Spearmint Chewing Gum invite you to be sure to listen next week at this time when Luigi Basco writes another letter to his Mama Basco in Italy. Life with Luigi is a Cy Howard production. Pat Burton is associate producer. The script is written by Mac Benoff and Lou Derman and directed by Mr. Benoff. J. Carroll Nash is starred as Luigi Basco, with Alan Reed as Pasquale, Jody Gilbert as Rosa, Mary Shipp as Miss Spaulding, Joe Forte as Horowitz, and Ken Peters as Olson. The music is under the direction of Lud Gluskin. This is Charles Lyon. This is the CBS Radio Network.
That is Life with Luigi from March 4th, 1952. And a great show. These were just fun, you know, fun radio shows. And they were set in Chicago, Illinois, right here, although it was broadcast out of Los Angeles. And I heard the very deep voice Gerald Moore in that cast as well. He played Luigi's boss at the steel plant. And he, of course, was the voice of Philip Marlowe on radio. Alan Reed was the voice of Fred Flintstone. In the cartoons, he was Pasquale. Great Life with Luigi episode. Let's take a quick break. Then it's more on the WGN Radio Theater. All right, so we are listening to classic radio in our next hour. It'll be the Green Hornet. And that made a transition to television. Lisa, you remember the Green Hornet on television?
I did not watch the Green
Hornet.
Bruce
Lee played Kato in the... It was only on for one season.
Yeah,
it was by the same people that produced the Batman series with Adam West and Burt Ward.
What year was that on TV?
Well, Batman was on 1966 through 1969.
Right.
So I think the Green Hornet came around 68.
Yeah, in that time
period. It was by the same producers and all that. Van Williams, I believe, played the Green Hornet on television. That was a very cool series. There was only maybe 30 episodes or something like that, but very, very cool. And then once in a while, they are on MeTV and Antenna TV. Great series. So that's coming your way in our next hour, the Green Hornet. And then after that, Pride of the Yankees, starring Gary Cooper, playing Lou Gehrig in that episode on the Screen Directors Playhouse. So still two more hours of classic radio coming your way. Don't forget to text in if you think you might know what Lisa's favorite song from 1969 is, and make sure you put her name next to it. And if you may guess my favorite song from 1969, put my name next to it. And the text in number is 312-981-7200. And I will say this, already we have one winner of each, but we're going to give as many people that win, they'll get the Twilight Zone CD set. But we do have one person that's identified Lisa's song and one person who has identified my song. So we'll play those songs in the next hour.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
12:08, it is Monday, and happy Monday, Lisa.
All right, you too.
Happy program 200.
200.
In the WGN Radio Theater series. Don't forget, folks, if you fall asleep and don't hear the full 3 hours that we do every Saturday and Sunday, we have a podcast of this show. Right, Lisa?
Right, Carl.
Right?
Right. Whatever you say.
And you know what? Shantae does an amazing job. She's in there working away. And I'm driving home. It takes me about an hour and 15 minutes to get home. And by about maybe 20 minutes after I'm in the car, I get the podcast sent to my phone. And I listen to it.
That's because we have a producer who works magic. She's great.
She's amazing. So, yeah, the podcast gets up maybe 20, 30 minutes after it's broadcast. And you can hear all of the shows that you may have missed if you fell asleep. You know, Lisa falls asleep a lot.
Yeah. Every time I start talking, I just fall right over.
I'll be like, Lisa. And she's like,
yeah, that's me. I'm just a big sleeper. I do nothing. I just
sleep.
You've
got to do something about that snoring.
Yeah. I'm going to have to work at that.
Yeah. There's an operation you can get.
Really?
There's an operation.
Oh, there's a lot of operations.
You need an operation for that.
You need something.
You're loud when you snore.
You're so full of it.
Gosh. It's not. Dan must. Does he wear earplugs when he sleeps?
No, it's the other way around.
You wear. All right. In this hour, it's the Green Hornet from 1946. And then in hour three, it is a radio dramatization of the film Pride of the Yankees, starring Gary Cooper on the Screen Directors Playhouse. And it's all brought to you by Cat's Pride. Dum, dum,
dum, dum, dum, dum, dum. It's time for Celebrity Scoop, brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow.
This actress, which is one of Carl's favorites, stars in the upcoming film The Favorite, which follows the political machinations during the reign of Queen Anne. And your big clue is Carl is in love with her.
Yeah, she's definitely, she makes the grade.
She's on the
list. She gets a 10 in my book. All right, so what do they win?
They're going to win 2 tickets to see Hair, the musical at Mercury Theater Chicago.
312-981-7200. Here's a hint. This actress played Mia in La La Land.
I feel like I said negative stuff about it before.
What?
It's like Rebel Without a Cause, sort of.
All right. Who is that great actress? 312-981-7200. We'll find our winner after these words.
We are back. Not Roger. It's our turn. This is the WGN Radio Theater. We're playing Celebrity Scoop, and we're going to play that movie clip one more time.
I feel like I said negative stuff about it before.
What?
It's like Rebel Without a Cause, sort of.
It's probably because I'm crazy about this woman. I was just thinking about her.
You
probably.
Were in La La Land.
Yeah, I was literally in La La Land.
Let's talk to Chris. Hey, Chris.
How you doing?
Great. How are you?
Good. It sounds like Carl's two-timing because I thought J-Law was his favorite.
Who, J-Lo? I like her, too.
He has Jennifer Lawrence.
Oh, Jennifer Lawrence. J-Law. I like her, too.
You know what? He has a lot of likes.
I like both of them.
All of them.
I heard she's available, Jennifer
which one
Lawrence.
Of these?
Jennifer Lawrence is single. So, Jennifer, if you're listening from L.A.
There you go.
You know, he's,
right, Chris?
He's more than a two-timer, Chris. He's got you
girls
know,
all over L.A.,
yeah,
New
his
York.
Brain's going all different directions.
Yeah.
Emma Stone is who the one.
Emma Stone is exactly right. Look, Carl.
I like Emma Stone.
Chris, I wish you could see Carl's face right now when you said that. But Chris is the winner here, and I am thrilled.
She's a cutie patootie.
All right. Are we done with her?
Yeah.
All right. Chris, you have won 2 tickets. Congratulations. You will see Hair. It's the rock musical playing at the Mercury Theater Chicago from July 27th through September 17th. It's a great show. It's a great theater. It's all fun. So you can check it out at mercurytheaterchicago.com. I look forward to being there for opening night, and I hope you love the show.
Okay, great music. Thank you.
Yeah, definitely. Take
care.
Thanks,
Chris. All right, Emma, if you're out there.
Emma.
Emma.
Emma, maybe, Jennifer Lawrence,
Anna,
Scarlett Johansson,
listening. You never know.
Any of the above.
I mean, we had somebody text us earlier, said they were listening from Australia.
That's
right?
Amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you can hear
the
show
everywhere.
You know
what? Emma could be listening right now, and she's dialing your number. So
I
sit tight.
I only wish.
All right. Well, you sit tight, and you put your hand by the phone.
All right.
Okay.
So we had another correct.
Yes, we did.
So we have two that knew my song.
That's right.
And one that knows yours. So
that's
we're going
right.
to reveal the songs in this hour. So make sure you stick around for that. But right now it's time for The Green Hornet. It was an adventure radio series, and The Green Hornet was Britt Reid, Lisa. He was a multimillionaire publisher of the Daily Sentinel newspaper. Now, that put him in a very unique position to learn facts about criminals that only the police had access to. And he was armed with this knowledge. He was also armed with a gas gun that rendered foes momentarily unconscious. And he had a sleek black automobile called the Black Beauty. He donned the guise of the Green Hornet and fought bad guys. What? Did I say something wrong?
You don't mean unconscious.
Unconscious.
You don't mean conscience. You mean
unconscious.
Conscious.
Yeah. What conscience. Did I say?
You were
unconscious.
So close. There you go. You were so close.
Yes. His faithful valet, Cato, was the masked vigilante, and he fought racketeers, gangsters, and saboteurs. Came to radio in 1936, and it was created by the same team that brought us the Lone Ranger and Sergeant Preston of the Yukon. Did you know that?
I didn't.
Created
but
by the same
I'm listening,
three,
and I'm learning.
All three of those shows were by the same couple of guys. All right, it's time now for a broadcast from November 24th, 1946. This is called Giuseppe's Secret. It stars Robert Hall, part one of The Green Hornet.
The Green Hornet. He hunts the biggest of all game, public enemies who try to destroy our America. With his faithful valet Cato, Britt Reid, daring young publisher, matches wits with the underworld, risking his life that criminals and racketeers within the law may feel its weight by the sting of the Green Hornet. Ride with Britt Reid in the thrilling adventure, Giuseppe's Secret. The Green Hornet strikes again. Britt Reid, young publisher of the Daily Sentinel, had invited Mike Axford and Lenore Case to have lunch at Giuseppe's Italian restaurant. They had just seated themselves at a table when Giuseppe hastened over effusively.
Oh, Mr. Reid! Giuseppe is very glad to see you again. Oh,
thank you, Giuseppe. I haven't had a chance to get around this way lately. How are things going in the restaurant?
Oh, fine, fine, Mr. Reid. Everything is just wonderful for Giuseppe.
Imagine you've been in the restaurant business and saying everything's just fine.
Well, things are getting better all the time, Michael.
You can say that again.
With the Giuseppe, that is just the song. Last week, I win in a football game.
Football game?
Yeah.
Hey, no, Giuseppe, that was lucky for you.
But Giuseppe, Darwell University won that game against our own city college. Ah, don't tell us you bet against your own hometown team.
Well, yes, Mr. Case, that's the way Giuseppe bet. And that the boy, Glenn White, he's the best football player in the whole country, you bet your life.
Glenn White? Yes, he's the star player on the Darwell team. They'd be lost without him. But, Giuseppe, I didn't know you'd become such an ardent sports fan.
That's right. Last year, Giuseppe told us he didn't understand sports and thought they were a waste of time. Now, didn't you, Giuseppe?
That's all right. But Giuseppe has a change now. I go to the big Darwell game tomorrow here at the stadium. Look. Good to take, it's time.
Very good, Giuseppe. Just about the best.
Well, Darwell's playing the biggest game of the season here, aren't they?
You said it. They're playing Homer University. And believe me, there'll be heavy betting on that game.
But with the Glenn White, that Darwell team is a sure to win.
Sure. But without him, Darwell wouldn't have a chance against Homer, to my way of thinking.
You're right about that, Axford. Well, we'd better order our lunch now, Giuseppe. We have to get back to the office.
Oh, right, to Mr. Reid. Hey, Joe, take in the order for Mr. Reid right away. I want the best of good luck.
Here it is, 2 o'clock, and I expected to get back here at the office at 1.
Oh, Giuseppe certainly was generous with his food. Oh, my goodness, I never ate so much for a lunch in my life.
Miss Case, speaking of Giuseppe, I want you to get everything we have on him in the morgue. His full name is Giuseppe Morelli.
Why should we have anything on him, Mr. Reid?
He was mixed up with some racketeers a few years ago. Durand and his crowd.
He was?
Yes. Durand's lawyers managed to get all of them off on probation. Giuseppe was so scared by the whole thing, he's gone straight ever since, so far as I know. But this betting he mentioned makes me wonder. I'd like to see the material we have on him.
I'll get it right away, Mr. Reid. By the way, what's become of Durand? Did he decide to go straight too?
Durand is a smooth operator. He still has his fingers in a lot of rackets around town. Frankly, I'd like to get something on Durand that would stick in court. He's a menace to the city. But lately, he seems to keep pretty well under cover.
I see.
He'll make a slip someday, though, that'll get him into real trouble. I feel sure of that.
The
The matter I came to see about this afternoon, Giuseppe, is very important. And I don't want any slip-up that'll get us into trouble, understand?
But there's somebody else that can do it.
You forget something, Giuseppe. My mouthpiece got you out of a jam with the law and on probation a couple of years ago. But if they knew that you helped Spike Sorrell bump off a certain stoolie before that, it'd be too bad. Spike went to the chair. You'd go there, too.
Oh, but I did not know what was going to happen. Spike said we'd take the man for a ride. I'm not to know Spike. I want to kill him.
I want to let you in on something else, Giuseppe. Just in case you don't really believe I could make it hot for you with the cops.
I not to understand.
It's this. A note I got from Spike Sorrell before he went to the hot seat.
Read it to him, Wally.
Sure. Listen to this, Giuseppe. I'm no squealer, but in case Giuseppe Morelli ever tries to pull a fast one, this is to say that he was the guy who was in on the killing of that stoolie with me. Signed, Spike Sorrell.
Oh, but that note, it's not the right.
The cops could match this note with Spike's written confession, and they'd grab you in a minute. Now, look, I'm not using this unless I have to, Giuseppe.
What do you want me to do?
Early tonight, the Darwell team arrives in town for the big game tomorrow. I'm putting out a lot of dough at heavy odds on Homer U to win.
Oh, but Darwell, they're sure to win.
Not without Glenn White, they won't.
Without? Without the Glenn White? Oh, but the paper, they say he will play.
But Wally has other ideas.
Right. Joe and I know the rooms at the hotel that have been reserved for that team. We have a room on the same floor.
But I'm not to see why you...
We'll wait our chance. When we find a way to get Glenn White alone, we'll use a little persuasion to make him come along with us.
No. You'll not do that.
Shut up and listen. We'll take him to that cabin up in the river. You come up there about 9 o'clock. Then you and Joe will take young White for a little ride. And this time, you'll be the one to handle the rod.
No, Durant. I'm not to go. I'm not to do it. I'm not to let you do that.
Who are the guys crazy?
Wait a minute, Joe. Now, listen, you. Why are you acting like that? I say you will do it, or I'll count you out and send Spike's note to the cops. And then Joe and I'll handle White.
No. You wait. I change my mind. I meet you at the cabin tonight.
Well, now that's more like it, Giuseppe. I'll tell you what, I'm a right guy. You do this job and I'll turn this note over to you tonight. We'll see you at the cabin at 9.
It's you, Coach Denby. I was unpacking.
Yes. Listen, Glenn. It's just 5 o'clock. Meet me in the dining room at 5:30. I have a few more instructions to give you.
Yes, sir.
I want you to turn in early and get a good rest. Everybody will be watching the great Glenn White tomorrow, you know.
Thanks, Coach. You can bet I'll do my best to win.
Good. See you downstairs.
Yes, sir. I'll come down at 5:30.
Might as well wash up and get ready for dinner.
Good thing I got a room to myself, so... Coach must have forgotten something.
Keep quiet and come along with us.
Hey, what is this?
Shut up. Do as you're told. I'm holding a gun in my pocket.
Well, I...
Come on, I said.
All right, I guess there's nothing else to do. I'll come with you.
Hey, Reed. What keeps you here till 6 o'clock?
Well, just finished signing a few letters, Axford. What's on your mind?
Casey said you were still in here, so I thought I'd come in to tell you that Durant and his friends are betting heavy on the big game Saturday. And the funny thing is, they're putting all their dough on Homer University to win.
On Homer University? That doesn't make sense.
I know. That's what I meant when I said it was funny. Of course, by betting on Homer, they're getting big odds.
But with Glenn White playing on the Darwell team... Homer hasn't got a chance, in my opinion. Durant is the type who usually bets on a sure thing. course, if he had any reason to think Glenn White wouldn't play in that game, it would explain why he's putting his money on Homer you to win.
Sure, but the Darwell team is already in town and White is with them.
I see. In that case... Yes, Miss Case?
Mr. Reed, Giuseppe Morelli is here in the outer office.
Giuseppe Morelli?
Yes, sir. He says he must talk to you, that it's very important.
All right, I'll see him. Have him come in.
Yes, sir, but... Well, he wants to talk to you alone.
I see. Well, Axford's just leaving.
I'll send Mr. Morelli right in, then.
Hmm. Wonder what Giuseppe wants to see you about, Reed.
If he wanted you to know, Axford, he wouldn't insist upon seeing me in private. I told Miss Case you were just leaving. Remember?
Oh. Oh, sure, Reed. But I'd sure like to know what it's about. See you later, Reed. Hey, hello there, Giuseppe. You can go right in. Mr. Reed's waiting for you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. How do you do, Mr. Reed?
Come right over here, Giuseppe. Take this chair near the desk.
It's good for you to see, Giuseppe. One time, you said to me, if I have a trouble, then I come and see you.
That's right. I meant just what I said.
Giuseppe, you have plenty of trouble now, Mr. Reed.
Well, maybe things aren't as serious as you think, Giuseppe. If you care to tell me what's wrong, perhaps I can do something to help.
Before I tell you anything, Mr. Reed, I ask you please to make a promise to me.
Promise?
Yes, Mr. Reed. It's very important to Giuseppe.
Just what do you want me to promise?
That you're not to tell the police, that you tell nobody what I tell you.
Now, see here, Giuseppe. If you've gotten yourself into serious trouble, the best thing to do is go to the police. Then my lawyers can review the circumstances of the case.
No, no, Mr. Reed. Giuseppe, he do not think. Giuseppe, he need a help to keep from trouble. He need help to get somebody else out of trouble. Mr. Reed, if you not help, then Giuseppe go alone. But that no good of Durand, he is very smart.
Durand? Then he's mixed up in it?
That's all right. I ask you once more, Mr. Reed. You make a promise to Giuseppe, then I tell you everything.
Well, all right. I promise to keep what you tell me confidential.
Oh, that's good. Now I tell you. Durand, he's a mean. He's a no good. But he's a very smart. He makes a life at the law.
I know.
Only time I see Durand afraid was when the Green Hornet he broke up at Durand's rocket 2 years ago. Of the Green Hornet only is he afraid.
I see. Go on.
Durand, he has a paper to get Giuseppe into trouble if I not to help him. He's going to bring that paper with him tonight. Then he give it to me if I do something for him. At the first, I say no. Then I think maybe I pretend to do what he says.
What is it he wants you to do?
Durand has picked up that football player, Glenn White.
What?
That's all right, Mr. Reed. Tonight, they take him to a cabin up the river. Durand says White will be taken for a ride. That I, Giuseppe, must be the one to shoot to Glenn White.
Maybe I'm the one that the shooter, Glenn White.
It's very dramatic. It's very, very big. Dramatic. I can see the guy standing there with his arms just moving
flailing
while he talks. He's just,
right.
It's very large.
Oh, yeah. Well, these were broadcast out of Detroit at WXYZ out there. This was a different crew of people that did the Lone Ranger, the Green Hornet, and Sergeant Preston of the Yukon. It was sort of the same stable of people that were in Detroit and doing this out and broadcast over the Mutual Network out to all of the affiliates. Yeah, this is part one of the Green Hornet. We'll have more of Giuseppe's secret from November 24th, 1946, after these words.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
All right, we're listening to the Green Hornet. Let's go back to November 24th, 1946, for the conclusion now of Giuseppe's Secret.
Britt Reed heard Giuseppe's announcement with considerable surprise. He sat for a moment and thought. Then he spoke.
Great Scott. That accounts for Durand's heavy betting. Well, this is serious, Giuseppe. The police should be notified at once.
No, you promised. If the police are brought in, I will go to prison. And they will find out all about me and about Glenn White.
I don't get it. What will people find out about Glenn White?
Mr. Reed, nobody knows. The boy, he must have never known. but that to Glenn White, the football player that Duran tried to make a Giuseppe help to kill. He is a Giuseppe's boy, my own son.
What? But Glenn White's father is known to be a wealthy banker, Giuseppe. I checked your past history this afternoon. Found that when you arrived in this country 20 years ago, you did have a wife and baby. I meant to ask you about that sometime. But when you say that Glenn White is...
My wife, she died. I was very poor. I took my bambino, the boy, to a big house, rang the bell and left him. They took him as their own. I do odd jobs in the neighborhood. For years, I watch him grow, and they call him a Glenn White.
I see. Giuseppe, you must get to the police.
If I get to the police, then Giuseppe will go to prison or maybe the chair. But that I would not care about. That Durand, he gets a tip-offs. He would find out the police were coming. He would kill my boy. I want to be there with him, to get him away safe. If I could get help. But right now, Giuseppe doesn't know what to do.
If I hadn't made that promise to you, Giuseppe...
But you did make the promise.
I know. And if there were any way that I could help you, I would. I still think you should go to the police. And I'll have my attorneys...
No. I don't want to the police. Please, Mr. Reed. You're not to tell the police. You're not to tell no one.
I've already promised that, Giuseppe. But if you won't take my advice, there's little I can do personally.
Then Giuseppe try to do something alone.
Well, perhaps I may think of something. In the meantime, maybe you can stall off Durand and his men.
Even if it's not possible for you to help, Giuseppe glad he'd tell someone.
I'll keep your confidence. And if there's any possible way for me to help, I will. But don't count on it.
A short time later, Britt left the Sentinel building and went to his apartment where Cato, his faithful Filipino valet, and the only person knowing his identity as the Green Hornet, was waiting.
Cato, Giuseppe Morelli came to me for help. He's in serious trouble.
What trouble is it, Mr. Britt?
I can't give you any details, Cato. I promised not to tell anyone what Giuseppe told me. If I hadn't made that promise, I would have talked him into going to the police. But I can tell you this. Our business tonight is tied in with Glenn White, the football player's disappearance, Cato. Durand, the racketeer, is mixed up in it, too.
Well, that's not good. Durand, very slick racketeer.
I know that. And it's all the more reason why I want to catch him red-handed. And I think this is it. I know that the only fear Durand has is the Green Hornet.
Then we go out in Black Beauty?
Yes, right now. Well, head for a cabin up along the river. I want to get there before 9. Let's go.
Stepping through a secret panel in the rear of a closet in the bedroom, Britt Reed and Cato went along a narrow passageway built within the walls of the apartment itself. This passage led to an adjoining building which fronted on a dark side street. Though supposedly abandoned, this building served as the hiding place for the sleek, super-powered Black Beauty, streamlined car of the Green Hornet. Britt Reed pressed a button. The great car roared into life. A section of the wall in front raised automatically, then closed as the gleaming Black Beauty sped into the darkness.
Come sit down, Joe. You make me nervous.
I'm worried about you, Giuseppe Durand. You ought to be here by now. We've been here at the cabin long enough.
Giuseppe will show up, don't worry.
That weak-kneed dope is liable to run to the cops. You know how he acted today.
He's afraid of what I've got against him.
Believe me, I'll go to the police when I get the chance. And you two have said enough here in front of me to hang both.
Ah, shut up, you. Should have gagged you when we tied you to that chair.
Let him talk, Joe. He'll be quiet for a long time after you and Giuseppe take him for that little ride along the river.
You won't get away with it. My father will never let up until he gets you for this.
I'll have to pin it on us first, fellow. There's Giuseppe now. Let him in, Joe.
Okay.
It's about time you got here, Giuseppe.
The police already hunting for the boy.
So what? He was bound to be missed sooner or later. Now we can get things started. Well, White, meet Giuseppe. He and Joe will take you on that ride I spoke of.
Duran, this boy. Maybe he promised not to tell about this. You keep him here until the game is over. Then let him go, eh?
Listen, if I get the chance, I'll talk, all right? I get out of this somehow, and then I go straight to police headquarters.
No, you don't know Duran. You will be shot. Tell him you want to talk. Then
are you crazy, Giuseppe? I know you have cold feet about this deal, but I said you're going through with it, and I mean just that.
But this boy, you should not have killed him. He's a young, he's
oh,
not
shut
yet...
Up.
I don't get this. These two are waiting for you to get here because they say you're to be the one to use a gun on me. I've heard enough to know they're forcing you to do it.
He'll do what he's supposed to do. Don't worry. I've got the gun right here, Giuseppe. I'll give it to Joe to carry along in the car. When the time comes, he'll give it to you. But he'll keep you covered with his gun until you finish the job.
Yeah, we better get started now.
No. You're not to make a Giuseppe go in the car. You're not to make a Giuseppe kill it, it's a boy.
I'm beginning to believe the crazy dope means it.
Look, I got a better plan, Wally. Why not plug the guy now? Then we'll clunk Giuseppe on the head and stick the gun in his hand. We tip off the cops, he'll take the rap. He's never been any use to us anyhow. We get him out of our hair.
Cover Giuseppe with your rod, Joe.
All right.
Wait, Duran, you're not to do this.
Why, you rotten killers, if I wasn't tired...
Go ahead, Wally, let him have it.
Might as well get it over with.
No, Giuseppe, not to let you...
Crazy fool jumped right in front of White.
He took the bullet intended for me.
I've got another one for you, fella.
No, you don't. No, oh, my arm.
The Green Hornet, I'll
shoot
this
you, son. Drop that gun. My wrist.
Drop it, I said.
That did it. Now you can take the floor.
Listen, Hornet. Why are you butting in? That guy means nothing to you.
Maybe I put all my dough on his team, Durand. That's reason enough.
Look. I'll cut you in on a big deal.
Come here, you.
Oh, my arm. It hurts.
Take a bit of gas. That'll help you forget your wounded arm. As for you, Glenn White, if you don't win that game tomorrow, maybe you'll get a little of what they got.
If I get in that game, I intend to do my best. But not because of your threats. Untie me so I can help that man lying there, the Italian. He came out here to help me, and he took a bullet intended for me.
I'll untie you. But before I do, I'm giving you a little whiff of gas. Then I'll tip off the cops where to find you.
No, wait.
I'll look after your friend. I'll take this.
I come in now?
Yes, I need your help. Giuseppe's out cold, but he isn't hurt too badly. I thought of rushing him to a hospital, but it isn't necessary. The bullet just creased his head.
What do we do then?
You can tip off the police from the gas station down the road. They'll see that Giuseppe gets attention, and Glenn White's testimony will clear him. I'll get a certain paper Durand carries in his pocket, then we'll leave.
That's Mr. Moretti's room just ahead. Room 302.
Thank you, nurse. How's he getting along?
Very well, sir. In fact, he had a fit until I brought in a radio so he could hear the football game. He's listening to it now.
It was a no-score tie game last I heard.
Yes, and it's almost over. You may go right in.
Thank you.
Seconds to play. The game is still a no-score tie. Darwell has the ball from the university's 30-yard line. Is it? It looks like, yes, ball sent to Ben White. He's breaking through right tackle. He's down to the 25, the 20.
Hey, did you hear that?
Well, Giuseppe, what do you think of that?
Mr. Reed, he did it. Glenn White did it. Now I shut up the radio.
Well, Axford tells me you've turned into quite a hero around police headquarters.
That he has, Reed. Young Glenn White told the inspector about how Giuseppe saved his life and all, and about how Duran was trying to make Giuseppe work along with him.
He's a one to find a boy, that Glenn White.
That he is. I'll bet his old man is proud of him this day.
That's all right, to Mr. Axford. That's all right.
The way you talk, you'd think you knew his old man, Giuseppe.
Giuseppe, once he had a little boy. He knows how a father feels inside for a boy like that.
Oh, I didn't know you ever had a kid. I guess you, well, sort of lost him, was that it?
To Giuseppe, he's never lost. inside the here. He's with me all the time.
Sure, sure, Giuseppe. Sorry I brought it up.
I understand, Giuseppe. About that matter you mentioned to me yesterday. You seem to have handled things extremely well without help.
But Giuseppe did get help, Mr. Reed. They tell Giuseppe that the Green Hornet come to the cabin after Giuseppe gets shot.
Say, I did hear the Hornet was mixed up in the affair.
I'll say he was. Glenn White told the inspector the Hornet saved his life last night. That is, after Giuseppe saved him first. Then the Hornet threatened White if he didn't win today. Can you beat that one?
Well, Glenn White came through, so he has nothing to worry about.
Mr. Reed, it's a good thing you try not to help Giuseppe.
Well, why, Giuseppe?
It's not too good for you come face to face with a Green Hornet.
Oh, I'm afraid, in a way, coming face to face with a Hornet would sort of tear me apart. I doubt that I could stand it.
Who could tell, Reed? Maybe get the best of the Hornet, tie him up, throw him over your shoulder, and march right into cop's headquarters with him.
I have a mental picture of myself trying such a thing, Axford.
Axford, say very funny joke, eh, Mr. Reed?
You said it, Giuseppe. Oh, you said it.
Let the lights be. Pet Bond, Duranda, and the compass indicted. Glenn White clears Giuseppe Morelli. Green Hornet implicated. Read all about it. Green Hornet still in large. Set the lights be. Pet Bond.
These copyrighted dramas originate in the studios of WXYZ Detroit.
All right, there you have it. That is The Green Hornet, November 24th, 1946, Giuseppe's Secret, starring Robert Hall. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll reveal at least one of the two songs and quite a few winners tonight on that, Lisa. All right, we'll be right back. All right, we are going to reveal both songs, Lisa's favorite song from 1969 and my favorite song from 1969. We had four winners in total, Lisa. Three people guessed my song. Let's see, one, two, yep. Three, yeah. Yep. And one person guessed your song. You are an enigma.
I know.
You know that, Lisa? Let's start out with Lisa's song. Here's Lisa's favorite song from 1969.
Come on, come on, come on, now touch me, babe. Can't you see that I am afraid? What was that promise that you made? Why won't you tell me what she said? What was that promise that you made? Now I'm gonna love you till the heavens stop the rain.
All right, there you have Lisa's favorite song.
That's a good one. You got to admit.
Yeah,
like
Touch
that,
Me
Carl?
By the Doors.
You like that song?
Yeah. You know, that was a really great movie. Val Kilmer played the lead singer. He played Morrison.
Yep.
You know, Van Morrison.
Yep.
The Doors.
Yep.
Great, great song, Lisa. Only one person had it right.
Yes.
It was from a 630 area code. The way we're going to do this is we will get in touch with you. We'll text you on that number, and we'll ask you for your address. And then I'll send out Twilight Zones to you. Now, we had three winners from a 217 area code and two from a 708 area code. Here is my favorite song from 1969. There it is. Creedence Clearwater Revival, CCR, with Bad Moon Rising, 1969. There's our two songs, Lisa. And
we did it.
We had a lot of people texting in. What were some of the other songs they thought? They were Aquarius. A lot of people thought.
Yeah, we were talking about Hair, so it would have made sense. And I said it was a great show, and I love the music. And yeah. But I didn't pick that.
Quite a few people said
like
Aquarius.
I like it, but I don't love it.
Then there was Suspicious Minds.
Suspicious Minds,
what were some of the other ones?
Sugar, Sugar.
Yeah,
I've been singing that song
sugar,
all night.
Sugar, Sugar. Yeah.
Honey.
There was a lot of great songs from 1960. Some were the other ones people texted
Honky Tonk Woman.
Yeah.
Let's see.
That would be good for you.
Honky Tonk Woman?
Yeah,
yeah, that's me. I'm a Honky Tonk Woman. Let's see. A lot of good stuff here. Proud Mary.
Yeah, Proud Mary. That's a good one, too.
A lot of Aquarius. Let's see. It's hard to go back. Oh, Pinball Wizard. But that's not from 19.
Yeah,
that's the wrong year.
That's the wrong
year. Sweet Caroline, a little Neil Diamond.
Yeah.
A lot of that. This Magic Moment.
Yeah, this magic moment.
It's a little slow for me. There's a few
people. Yeah, Lisa's kind of a rock and roller, just as a hint.
Really?
You're kind of like, I mean, look. Doors, Touch Me, yeah. Yesterday was...
I love The Who.
Yeah.
I love Queen. Mm-hmm. A lot of good stuff. The old stuff.
Our listeners figured it out. We had four winners, so I'm going to be popping out four Twilight Zone CDs this week to you guys.
All right, good job.
So we will get in touch with you. We'll ask you via text what your address is. Name and address. We'll send you the Twilight Zone CDs. We'll try to do something like this. Every once in a while, either songs or movies or, you know, give people an additional chance to win some prizes besides our Cat's Pride Kitty Litter Celebrity Scoop Contest, right?
Right.
All right. In our next hour here on program 200 of the WGN Radio Theater, we're going to tune into a radio adaptation of the hit film Pride of the Yankees, starring Gary Cooper reprising his role from the film. And that is on the Screen Directors Playhouse. That's coming up in just a few moments.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
Thank you, Esmeralda, and thank you, Roger. You know what? I said Van Morrison for the Doors. It's Jim Morrison. Yeah,
and
you know what?
One of our listeners
I don't know
picked up
rock and
that.
Roll like I, you know, like I should.
Right.
I probably shouldn't do a disc jockey show.
No, I don't think either of us would be prepared to do that.
Classic radio shows, I kind of know that.
Yeah, kind of, you
do. But not rock and roll that much.
All right, well, let's keep to classic radio.
But I did like the movie. I did like the Doors movie with Val Kilmer. He was great
in that. With Van Morrison.
With Val Kilmer.
It's all very confusing.
In that movie. All right, well, we have four winners. That's
pretty good.
Pretty darn good, yep. Lisa Wolf. All right, well, thanks for staying up late with us, folks. This is Hour 3. It's 1:07 in the morning, Monday morning, program 200. And, Lisa, you know what we have in this hour?
Yes, I do.
What is it?
We've got Screen Directors Playhouse.
Yes, we do.
From September 30th, 1949, Pride of the Yankees.
Yep, Gary Cooper reprising his role. And we'll have that in just a minute. But first, it's time for Celebrity Scoop.
It's time for Celebrity Scoop, brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow.
This actress stars in the upcoming psychological thriller The House That Jack Built, which follows a serial killer over the course of 12 years. It sounds really cool.
Oh, wow.
And the winner gets a pair of tickets to see Hair, which is the rock musical playing at the Mercury Theater Chicago.
All right. The number to call to win those tickets, 312-981-7200. Here's a hint. This actress played Mia Wallace in Pulp Fiction.
I'll have the Durwood Kirby Burger, Bloody, and a $5 shake.
$5 shake. Back in the time when this film...
You can get a $5 shake.
$5 shake back then.
You can get a $5 shake back now.
No, I know you can now, but this movie was... 15 years
right.
ago.
Right. So you're saying it's a little pricey then, huh?
Super pricey. Must have been an L.A. establishment.
Fancy, fancy shake.
All right. So who is that great actress? 312-981-7200. Win some tickets to see Hair. We'll be right back.
All righty. We're back. We're playing Celebrity Scoop. Let's play it again.
I'll have the Durwood Kirby Burger, Bloody, and a $5 shake.
Right, I'm not very good at names, Lisa.
You are so good.
I'm bad at names. No, I butcher names. Poor Steve Ruxton. I could say it now.
I know. What was that?
I don't know.
Oh, let's talk to Matthew. Hi, Matthew. Is he there? Hey.
Matthew, are you there?
Where'd he go?
I don't know. How come we can't get him on the telephone here?
Shante, where's Matthew?
He's on air.
Can you hear
there
me?
You are.
There
Hi,
we
Matthew.
Go. How are you?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
I can hear you.
Yes.
Okay. We're good. Matthew, who is that actress?
Hello?
All right.
Hi.
Well, can you hear us?
Okay, Uma Thurman.
Uma
yes,
Thurman is
go.
Right. I'm glad
Uma
you.
Uma Thurman.
You have won 2 tickets to see Hair. It's a great rock musical. It's playing at the Mercury Theater July 27th through September 17th. And it's a great show, great songs, great music. For information, go to mercurytheaterchicago.com. Matthew, congratulations and thanks so much for calling in.
All right, we got Matthew.
Yeah, we got a little reverberation.
You know,
part
of the problem is because we have a delay. If they have their radio up loud, it messes it up.
Yeah.
So, all right, well, Matthew's a big winner. He's going to see Hair. Thanks, Matthew. We appreciate you. All right, it is time for the Screen Directors Playhouse. This was a very interesting series. You know why, Lisa? Because leading Hollywood stars would perform in radio adaptations of their popular movies, and it also had the added element of director participation. The director of the film would introduce the movie and make a curtain call to chat with the stars. And the directors on this series included Alfred Hitchcock, John Ford, Frank Capra, Billy Wilder, just to name a few. Came to NBC Radio in 1949, lasted all the way to 1951, and then made a transition to television in 1955. How the heck did they do a whole movie
to radio to TV?
I don't know how they did that, but the radio show
great writers is what they
have. And the radio show is great, and this is one of the best films of the 1940s. Gary Cooper stars as Lou Gehrig in this, the pride of the pride of the Yankees, from September 30th, 1949. Here's part one of the Screen Directors Playhouse.
Oh, waiter.
Yes, sir?
I'll have a chopped sirloin steak, cottage fried potatoes, asparagus with butter sauce, and a bottle of cold Pabst Blue Ribbon.
Yes, sir. Finest beer served anywhere.
From Hollywood, Pabst Blue Ribbon, finest beer served anywhere, proudly presents Screen Directors Playhouse, production Pride of the Yankees, director Sam Wood, star Gary Cooper. Hollywood Screen Directors present the life of baseball's beloved Lou Gehrig. The motion picture story, Pride of the Yankees, starring Gary Cooper. The story of America is written in many places, in factories and offices and farms, and on the field of sport. One magnificent chapter was written on the baseball diamond, and its hero was the fellow they called the Iron Man. This is his story, starring Gary Cooper in his original role of Lou Gehrig, the pride of the Yankees.
That was the sound he loved, the clean, sweet crack of a bat saying howdy to the horsehide cover of a baseball. The first time I ever heard that sound in connection with him was in the office of the athletic director at Columbia University. It came from a long way off and was immediately followed by another sound much closer by.
Holy smokes. A fly all the way in from Southfield?
Who hit it, Coach?
That's the boy I've been telling you about, Blake. Lou Gehrig. My number one halfback on next year's football team.
Football? For a kid who can hit a baseball this far, he's for the big leagues.
Ah, Blake, lay off. No pro baseball for Gehrig. He's studying to be an engineer. Besides, I'm saving him for football.
Oh, sure, sure, Coach. But you don't mind, just as a favor to the working press, you don't mind if I introduce the boy to Miller Huggins, manager of the New York Yankees, do you? He was another Babe Ruth. I knew it. I not only introduced him to Miller Huggins, I got him signed with the Yankees. I was with him that day in Chicago when he played in his first major league game. I was in a box over the dugout with old man Twitchell, the hot dog king, and his daughter, Eleanor.
I'll lay it in there, Herbie!
Throw to him, boy! Throw to him,
boy!
Hey, Gehrig! Hey, you, Gehrig!
Oh, me? Hey, you mean me?
Yes, you. Come on the double.
Yes, sir. Right up, Mr. Huggins.
Hey, look out! Watch those bats!
I'm sorry, Mr. Huggins. I kind of slipped.
Yeah, Tanglefoot!
Get up there, Tanglefoot!
All right, get in there on first base, Gehrig. Wait a minute, you all right?
Yes, sir. So don't take me out, Mr. Huggins. I've been waiting too long to get in.
Okay, and watch where you're going.
Yes, sir.
Hey, Tanglefoot!
Don't sit on a bat, Tanglefoot!
Got lots of batting, Tanglefoot?
Looks like you kind of started something, Miss Twitchell.
So it seems, Mr. Blake. It's dreadful, isn't it? I seem to have tied a label onto that rookie of yours.
Soon as she says to me, I'm
some great. Training table, Mr. Blake.
Yeah, this is the Rast Keller. Yankee teams always come here after a game in Chicago. Good eats.
And I'm hungry.
Lou, old boy, you did all right in there this afternoon.
I kind of stumbled right into things, so to speak.
Well, the fans will just remember you all the better.
But that name, Tanglefoot, and that girl you were sitting with started it.
Yeah, that's Eleanor Twitchell. You see a lot of her, Lou. As a matter of fact, there she is now in the fire.
Hi there, Mr. Twitchell.
Hello, Ellie.
Ah, the Yankees. I hear you had a rough game today, boys.
Ah, we were jinxed.
It'll never happen again.
How about that Tanglefoot fellow, your new first baseman? Are there any more at home like him?
Now, there's a girl that's riding for a fall, Mr. Blake.
I don't think she saw you, Lou. I wouldn't say anything. Here she comes.
Yeah, so she does.
What are you up to?
Well, hello, Mr.
No,
Blake.
No, Lou, don't.
What? Lady must have tripped.
Why, you?
Tanglefoot?
Oh. Miss Twitchell. Mr. Gary.
Okay, I guess we're all even.
Well, Miss Twitchell, and if we're now all even, maybe you'll sit down with me.
Thank you. I like the way you stand up to a ball, Mr. Gehrig. A lot of power there.
Do you hear that, Blake? The lady knows a ball player when she sees one.
Ah, yes, Miss Twitchell. He stands up at the bat real fine.
Yes, he does. And he falls down on the bats pretty good, too. You're a Tanglefoot.
Well, bye-bye, Chicago. Until the next time, Lou.
Look, Mr. Blake, you know all about women.
Hmm? Oh, sure, sure.
What does it mean when a girl says you remind her of a Newfoundland puppy?
Well, if it were an Airedale or a police dog, that'd be fatal. But a Newfoundland puppy, I'd see her again if I were you.
You see, Miss Twitchell, Mr. Blake told me I should be sure and see you again when I was in Chicago.
Oh, but Mr. Gehrig, that was the last time.
And the time before that. Hey, do you realize that this is my last night in Chicago this season and that this is goodbye?
Mm-hmm. Six more cities to go before the World Series. Six more goodbyes.
Six more what?
Well, you play in seven cities when you're on the road. You must have a girl in every city, you know, like a sailor, a girl in every port. What's Miss Boston's name?
I never said I had a girl in Boston.
Have you?
Uh-uh.
How about Philadelphia? St. Louis? Detroit? Cleveland? Washington? New York?
You forgot Chicago.
Chicago?
Yes.
Who?
Well, aren't you my girl?
Why, Mr. Garrig, whatever gave you that idea?
Well, I've seen you every trip out here, and this time 4 days in a row. And then you come out here with me tonight. Isn't that what best girls do?
Is it?
Sure.
Well, why don't you write me all about it from St. Louis when you finish the season?
The series wound up in St. Louis that year. The Yankees needed only one more game to clinch the World's Championship. And I'll never forget the day of that last game.
Yes, sir, this is a World Series that'll go down in history. Babe Ruth and Lou Gehrig have each hit a home run for a little boy bedridden in a St. Louis hospital. But here in the press box, I've just been informed that Gehrig has promised two homers for that kid in the hospital. And here we are in the eighth inning, and Gehrig is at bat again. Will he do it? Here comes the pitch. And it's wide. Looks like they're going to pass him. Here comes the next pitch. And it's another wide one.
Come on, pitch to me.
Two men on base, two out. And it looks like they're going to walk Gehrig his last time at bat in this World Series.
All three. Come on, give me one I can reach.
It's three balls. Gehrig waiting for the next pitch, and here it comes. It's way wide, but Gehrig is reaching for it desperately. And there it goes. It's going, going, and he does it. Gehrig's second homer, scoring three runs and clinching this World Series.
Hello, you did it. What a ball game.
Thanks, Blake. I was lucky.
Mr. Gehrig.
Oh, here, Porter, I'll take it.
Open it for me, Blake.
Sure. It's from Chicago.
What's it say?
It just says love, and it's unsigned.
Boy!
Out of my way, Blake. I'm not going with you.
Now, Lou, come back here. Where are you going?
To Chicago to see if a girl named Unsigned has a home for a Newfoundland puppy.
Two firsts now in Lou Gehrig's life, baseball and his new wife, Elena. And for the life of me, I couldn't figure out which one came first. I was best man at the wedding, and now, some years later, here I was still ringing their apartment bell.
Oh, hello, Blake. Come in.
Happy anniversary. Here, for the bride.
Thanks, Blake. At least you remembered.
Oh, where's Lou?
I was hoping he was with you.
With me? Did he say that... Oh, now look, Ellie, I bet you this is the first time he's been late since he was married.
This is the fourth time, Blake. And I know where he is.
Oh, now don't talk like that, Ellie. Lou is true blue. Where are you going?
I'm going to get him.
Oh, you can't do that.
I can.
Oh, I can't believe it. Almost destroys my faith in human nature. Lou Gehrig would...
Hi, Ellie. Hiya, Blake.
Lou, I know where you've been.
Oh, now, wait a minute, Ellie. At least give him a chance to explain.
What do you mean, explain? Ellie just wants to know what the score was.
I want the truth, Lou.
23-22, so help me.
Score? What are you two talking about?
Sandlot baseball. I've been umpiring a kid's game on a vacant lot.
I told you I knew where he was, didn't I, Blake?
Why, you don't talk to me, you Borgia. And you, Lou, playing with a bunch of kids on your anniversary.
I gotta keep my hand in. I'm a baseball player.
Yep, Blake was right. You still stand up at the bat real fine, Mr. Gehrig.
Gosh, when you said that, the Chicago Rathscutter where we met jumped right up in my lap.
You've won a lot of records since then, Lou. Most valuable player in the American League.
The record I like best is that I haven't missed a game since I started playing for the Yankees.
I know. Not even for our honeymoon.
What's wrong with a honeymoon in the Yankee Stadium?
Nothing, darling, nothing. I loved every minute of it.
You remember when the photographers took our picture after the wedding?
After the game, you mean? One more kissing the bride, huh, Mr. Gary?
Like this?
Hold it.
Now, how about another one? The bride kissing the groom.
Oh, please, Mr. Gary. Girl's got to breathe. Oh,
come on, I'll Indian wrestle you.
What are you doing?
Put your elbow on the table. Now try and push my hand back on the table.
I'll do it this time. Oh.
Come on, say you're my tangle foot. Say it.
Ow, ow. I'm your Tanglefoot. I'm your Tanglefoot.
Yeah, that's better.
The winner.
But I'll win someday, fair and square, and make you say it.
All right, that is the first portion of Pride of the Yankees, starring Gary Cooper on the Screen Directors Playhouse from 1949. We'll get back to this great radio adaptation of the hit film after these words. Should we tell our listeners what we have next week?
Let's do that.
Do you have yours handy? I have it right here.
Go ahead. I got it.
All right, well, go ahead.
It's okay.
Next week, we will be back here with program 201 and 202.
It's a lot of.
It's a lot of shows.
We've got this Saturday night. We have The Six Shooter, Dangerous Assignment, and The Aldrich Family.
Good.
And on Sunday night, we have Tales of the Texas Rangers, The Halls of Ivy, and Murder at Midnight.
All right. So mark your calendar. And you can always look at our schedule, which is posted on our website, which is WGNRadioTheater.com.
And it's also posted on our Facebook page around Tuesday or Wednesday. I will post it on our Facebook page as well.
Yeah, and when you go to our Facebook page, please like us. We would love to be liked.
Or you could put a note on your refrigerator, like one of our listeners this evening sent a photo of a note on the refrigerator that said, Carl and Lisa, WGN Radio Theater, 11 o'clock. I love that.
Yeah.
It was a gorgeous refrigerator.
That was really
too.
Great. That was very, very sweet to send us a picture of that. Thank you for doing that.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
All right. That's us. We are here every Saturday and Sunday night live. We're here live on the radio from 11 p.m. till 2 o'clock in the morning. And Lisa, when do you start your show, Listen to Lisa? When does that start?
When is that going to happen? I thought you were going to make that happen for me.
I thought Todd and Stephanie were going to greenlight that.
What's happening?
Listen to Lisa, where people call in and give Lisa... questions about their life.
I recently gave you advice. I don't know if you're going to listen, but you should probably. we'll see how that goes.
You know, I usually listen to you, Lisa. I really,
The times you don't that you get into some doo-doo.
You are very smart. You are very worldly. And
wise old owl.
How many master's degrees, too?
Yeah.
But you know what? You're beyond that.
Beyond my years.
You're like 7, 8, 10, 12 master's degrees.
You know, it's just sometimes it's just a lot of common sense and a good perspective on things.
I think you'd be great on this. And I just want to be your sidekick on this show.
Yeah.
People call in and they're like, oh, Lisa, I'm dating this girl or whatever. And, you know, she doesn't seem to be into me, blah, blah, blah. What do you think, Lisa?
I say move on.
And then,
there's
you know,
more
Lisa
fish in
has
the sea,
all
Carl.
Of this great. Well, I'm pretending on somebody else.
Yeah, no, of course.
It changed my voice. I wasn't me.
Okay.
I was somebody else.
Of course.
Listeners call in and they, you know, I got this or I got that or I did this or should I go to, you know, the Wisconsin Dells or should I go to Vegas? Here's you, Vegas.
Right.
Yeah.
Vegas.
Right. So I think it's a great idea.
Yeah. I'm up for it.
So let's get that going.
You can be my agent.
Chop, chop,
can
Lisa.
Can you be my agent?
Yeah. I think you should start. I started in college radio.
You should start there. Blah, blah, blah.
Started on WRRG, Triton College Radio, 10 watts. The station was a whopping 10 watts.
I started on WIND.
Yes, you did.
And
now you're here. And
that's right.
You just hop, skipped, and jumped right to here to the biggest station in the world.
I know what good is.
Gosh, I started on a 10-watt radio station.
Well, I was just doing other things that was preparing
Triton
me for
College Radio,
this.
Along with Wendy. Wendy
Listen,
Snyder and I
there are
were
other,
at Triton
other
College.
Things that people can do to prepare for being on the radio other than actually being on the radio.
Yeah, like tape recording people with your Radio Shack, realistic
no, there's,
tape
honestly,
recorder.
There's plenty of things that I've
well,
done
all
prior
I know
to-
is... You would be great on
Thank
Listen
you.
To Lisa
I agree.
Is the show.
I think that was right, up my alley.
Let's talk a little bit more about that while we're playing the conclusion now to the Pride of the Yankees on the Screen Directors Playhouse.
Those were wonderful years for Lou Gehrig and wonderful years for baseball. A lot of changes had taken place on the Yankee team since Lou first signed with them. Miller Huggins was dead now, and Joe McCarthy was manager of the New York club. Babe Ruth left the Yankees, and Lou Gehrig was captain of the team. But I was still with him the day he played his 2,000th consecutive game. Come on there, Iron Man. Want to be late for the game?
Come in a minute, Blake. There's no hurry.
No hurry, he says.
On your 2,000th game? I wouldn't be surprised if the fans chipped in and bought you an automobile.
Maybe they'll give him a yacht.
Sure, an automobile and a yacht and the Statue of Liberty. I think I better go, Ellie.
Well, go on, but I'm warning you. All you'll get is a horseshoe of roses.
Oh, don't be so cynical, Ellie.
With good luck, Lou Gehrig on a ribbon.
Hiya, Tanglefoot.
Oh, no. A horseshoe of roses.
Suitably inscribed.
Oh, darling, come in. You look so funny with that horseshoe of roses around your neck.
I wanted to knock a homer for you today, but maybe I tried too hard. I struck out three times.
Oh, if they only realized what was back of those 2,000 games, they'd have given you the Yankee Stadium. Here's what to do with their old roses. Cat.
Hey, look out. Right back at you for having blue eyes.
And this is for the time in Chicago you got beaned and went right on flames.
And this is for being the best fan a man ever had.
Oh! And that's for when you played 12 innings in St. Louis with a broken toe.
Hey, don't. I'll Indian wrestle you. Give me your hand.
All right, come on. Now say your Tanglefoot. Say it. Say it!
Okay, I'm a Tanglefoot.
I won! I made you say it fair and square. I won. Now don't pretend you let me.
Oh, hey, my shoulder.
Lou, what's wrong?
I don't know. I must have sprained it.
Does it hurt bad?
Kind of like it's paralyzed. I felt sort of stiff at the game. Now maybe that's why I struck out.
Gee, you see that? Lou Gehrig struck out again. What's got into that guy, anyway?
He's slipping, all right.
What an exhibition. You call that baseball?
Gehrig booted the game. Threw it right down the drain.
I tell you, Lou, you ought to see a doctor. You owe it to the Yankees.
Okay, Blake. Maybe you're right.
Sorry to keep you waiting, gentlemen, but I wanted to have a look at these X-rays.
How did I do, Doctor?
I'm afraid you'll have to give up baseball for a while. You see, Mr. Gehrig...
Go ahead, Doc. I'm a man who likes to know his batting average.
Of course, I have only made a superficial examination of the tests.
Is it three strikes, Doc?
It's three strikes.
How much time have I got?
Mrs. Gehrig is waiting, Doctor.
Have her come in, please.
Doc, I don't want her to know, ever.
I understand. But the newspapers?
Leave everything to me, Lou.
All right, come in.
Hi, Ellie. Well, the verdict's in. I just got a little something, that's all.
What is it?
Well, I'll be cured of it before I learn how to pronounce it.
Doctor, can you pronounce it?
Doc's
got to take one more X-ray, Ellie. We'll be right back.
Just for the record, Mrs. Gehrig.
Be right back.
Blake, what did the doctor tell Lou?
Well, nothing. Nothing at all. One of those little things with a big name.
Tell me the truth, Blake.
Well, that's the truth. Some kind of itis. Didn't you hear what the doctor said?
When is Lou going to die, Blake?
How did you know?
I could read it in your eyes. All of you. Don't let him know that I know.
That afternoon at the stadium, Lou Gehrig took himself out of the lineup. The fans heard the news for the first time.
No!
A hush came over the crowd. Lou Gehrig, the Iron Man, was through. After 2,130 consecutive games, 14 years, a legend in the history of baseball was finished. But the fans, the baseball public who loved him, weren't going to let him go out this way. Spontaneously, an idea sprang into being. A tribute. Lou Gehrig Day at the Yankee Stadium. A tribute from the millions of men, women, and children whose hearts were with him.
Listen to the move.
It's sort of funny, Ellie. Standing here in the dressing room tunnel for the last time.
What do you mean, for the last time? Next season, you'll be back bigger than ever.
Yeah, maybe.
Lou, I just thought of something. We've never had a honeymoon. Why shouldn't we have one now?
Better late than never, huh, Ellie?
Yeah. We've got all the time in the world now, haven't we?
Yeah, all the time in the world. Ellie, I had this made up for you.
A bracelet. Out of your metal.
Just some of the hardware I've collected. Ellie.
I guess I've got a right to cry a little. It's so beautiful.
I wanted you to have it, Ellie, because you've given me so much. You've been so... you're such... Oh, you're dope.
Are you making love to me, you big ape?
And now, here he is, Lou Gehrig.
Go on, Tanglefoot. It's you.
Okay, Tanglefoot.
Wearing his uniform for the last time, Lou walked alone from the tunnel. When he reached the microphone, 62,000 voices stopped screaming. The entire stadium rose in silent tribute, waiting for him to speak.
I have been walking on ball fields for 16 years, and I have never received anything but kindness and encouragement from you fans. I have had the great honor to have played with the greatest veteran ball players of all time. I have been given fame and undeserved praise by my friends, the sports writers. I have worked under the two greatest managers of all time, Miller Huggins and Joe McCarthy. I have a mother and a father who fought to give me health and a solid background in my youth. I have a wife, a companion for life, who has shown me more courage than I ever knew. People all say I've had a bad break, but today I consider myself the luckiest man on the face of the earth.
Lou turned like a man in a dream and walked slowly across the ball field toward the tunnel. Not once looking back, walking out of baseball, out of his life, a champion. And all over America that afternoon, the hearts of millions more filled as they cheered him for the last time and said hail and farewell to our own Lou Gehrig, the pride of the Yankees.
Just heard the last act of Pride of the Yankees. Now, here again is our star, Gary Cooper.
Ladies and gentlemen, Pride of the Yankees as a motion picture was a tribute to a great man. Tonight, it is a tribute to two great men. One, of course, was Lou Gehrig. The other was the director of Pride of the Yankees, Sam Wood.
Thank you, Gary. All of us in the Screen Directors Guild respected Sam Wood, and most of us loved him. I've known Sam for more than a third of a century. We first worked together in 1916. He was an extra. And then I made him assistant director in my unit. I watched the development of a great talent that carried him into the ranks of the top directors. Sam was a pioneer in the motion picture industry, and I've never known a more staunch supporter of individual freedom and the American way of life. He was a great director and a great citizen and a great man. All of us who knew him salute his passing. But we of the Screen Directors Guild feel that this broadcast, The Pride of the Yankees, which reflects his greatness as a director and as an American, is the most sincere final tribute we can pay him tonight.
Thank you, Mr. Cecil B. DeMille, for your stirring tribute. Pride of the Yankees was presented through the courtesy of Samuel Goldwyn Productions, currently releasing Rosianna McCoy, starring Farley Granger and Joan Evans. Gary Cooper is currently starred in the Warner Brothers production Task Force. Included in tonight's cast were Loreen Tuttle as Ellie, Frank Lovejoy as Blake, Jim Nusser, Herb Bigren, Jerry Hausner, Ted Van Els, and Dan Riss. Pride of the Yankees was adapted for radio by Warren Lewis, and original music was composed and conducted by Henry Russell. Screen Directors Playhouse is produced by Howard Wiley with dramatic direction by Bill Karn. Don't forget, Screen Directors Playhouse will be heard henceforth on Mondays beginning next Monday with The Senator Was Indiscreet, starring William Powell. And next Friday night, make a date with William Bendix at the same time and station for The Life of Riley, as brought to you by the makers of Pabst Blue Ribbon. Finest beer served anywhere. Your taste will tell you why. Screen Directors Playhouse is brought to you by the Pabst Brewing Company of Milwaukee, Wisconsin, Newark, New Jersey, and Peoria, Illinois, and sent your way with the best wishes of the Pabst Blue Ribbon dealers from coast to coast. James Wallington speaking. You're tuned for the stars on NBC.
That show had a live studio audience. Hear them all clapping at the end there. Some of the dramatic shows had the live studio audience. Most of the comedies did. That was Pride of the Yankees starring Gary Cooper from September 30th, 1949, with Jimmy Wallington doing the announcing on there. He called himself James Wallington, but he was also known as Jimmy Wallington.
That could be. I was going to say it has to be some of the shows that have more money that can afford a studio audience.
Bigger budget. And that was like a whole studio orchestra there.
Right.
It wasn't just the organ, you know.
Right.
Some of the shows had just an organ. But that was a full, you know, probably like maybe a 15 to 20 piece orchestra. Pretty big orchestra generally. That was the NBC orchestra. I hope you enjoyed that. Screen Directors Playhouse, good radio adaptation of the hit film Pride of the Yankees.